July 1st, 2017. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, broadcasting from the warm Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me today on RBN. Their website is, of course, republicbroadcasting.org. View our guest lineup at spingola.com. Just click on the radio schedule button and select the year, month, and day. To listen to the archives of this program, select my name in the archives section at RBN. Please also visit and subscribe to spingolaspeaks.net and woolliesblog.blogspot.com. Email questions or comments to comment@spingola.email. Please visit the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. We may or may not take calls in the second hour at 800-313-9443. A friend of mine, Robert, asked me a question this morning, and he posed this question, and I quote, "Would you agree the official narrative of 9/11 and the JFK assassination is so absurd they didn't expect you to believe it?" Unquote. My answer is as follows. No, I do not agree, because millions of obedience-trained, government school-educated, apathetic, distracted, preoccupied, non-critical thinking people totally believe and have never questioned the government's version of those two dastardly events. An individual should seriously and objectively evaluate every event on an individual basis and not assume that everything that happens was orchestrated by the government. However, when horrible events do occur, the government will exploit those events in order to enforce their agenda, which is absolute control over the populace. Yes, people do believe the official stories of 9/11 and the JFK assassination. These are the same people who will roll up their sleeves so his or her white-coated authority may inject him or her with solutions that may contain albumin, acetone, aluminum hydroxide, aluminum hydroxyphosphate, aluminum phosphate, aluminum potassium sulfate, amino acids, ammonium sulfate, amphotericin B, animal tissue or blood, ascorbic acid, benzethonium chloride, calcium carbonate, calcium calf bovine serum, chick embryo, chloride, cysteine, dextrin, diploid cells, which of course are aborted fetal tissue, DNA, fetal bovine serum, formaldehyde, gelatin, glucose, glycerin, histidine, hydrochloric acid, and a number of other things, including, but not limited to, ethanol, which phenoxyethanol, which is antifreeze, GMO yeast, and aluminum, and of course, mercury. Not only that, they are perfectly willing to submit their infants to the same deadly solutions simply because some authority entity, the FDA, approves. If one were to drop a vial of vaccine or a chemotherapy drug on the floor, the building would need to be evacuated and hazmat called to clean up the hazard chemicals. But it's okay in your body. A lady on Facebook called her local poison control center and read a short list of vaccine ingredients without telling her, the center, the source of her list. She asked what would happen to a parent who gave their child any one of the ingredients. The center said they would be arrested and imprisoned. A private citizen is considered a criminal if he or she engages in the same activity that a government-licensed agent has absolute permission, encouragement, and training to do. If such people resist, they pay a big price. Just acquire a license and act in the government's behalf with impunity. No questions asked. A uniformed Chicago policeman can shoot a retreating suspect 16 times in the back with hardly a question asked. How about all of those patriotic Christian Americans who are willing to leave their family and friends, put on a government uniform to go kill, bomb, and maim citizens in a foreign country because U.S. government officials mandate such murderous, brutal behavior on behalf of those they dutifully serve? Yes, we have a nation of indoctrinated people acquiescent to multi-level, licensed, uniformed authorities, and they are willing, even anxious, to be herded about like cattle, not realizing that they are on their way to the slaughterhouse. Okay, my guests today are Thomas Goodrich, the author of numerous books, including Hellstorm, The Death of Nazi Germany, 1944 to 1947. His website is thomasgoodrich.com and hellstormdocumentary.com. And Hilda, welcome to the program, both of you.
Thanks for having me.
You're very, very welcome. I'm so glad that we could make this connection. It's good. Just wonderful to have you on the program.
As always, good to be here, Deanna, and especially after your recent accident. That's serious stuff. You know, I know you're recuperating, but your voice has never sounded better than today.
Oh, well, that's so good. Well, I just took a swig of cayenne pepper mixed with a few other things, so it's probably the hot pepper. Cayenne pepper is fabulous for just about anything that ails you.
Yeah. You know,
you can use it to make your own mace.
Mace?
Indeed! Yeah. Wonderful. Yes, that's a great idea.
What's the mechanism you can squirt that mace out in? Anything? Like a bottle?
Yeah.
There's
a couple of YouTube videos that they teach you how to make your own mace, and cayenne powder was like one of the main ingredients.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All that the women certainly work. Yes.
I need that for all the women attacking me.
You wish.
In your introduction, it's unfortunate, but it seems like it comes with the territory. Most people don't think. It's easier not to think. And they would rather, go out and play ball or watch ball, more likely go out and or stay home and watch a TV and do anything but try to think about what's going on in the world. Of course, you're right on top of everything, and Hilda and I are all, as well, but fact is, these people have always been out there, these ones that refuse to think, that allow things bad to happen with them. I wish they were on our side, but they're almost as good as being on the enemy's side when they don't do anything, but alas, they've always been there. So I guess the most
that reminds me, remember the friend I was telling you about, the photographer, and he's sort of there, but not all the way.
Yes, I certainly do.
Yeah.
Some people come to the truth incrementally. They learn one thing, and then all of a sudden that opens their horizons, and then they accept other things. But it's a very difficult thing to leave one's comfort zone, because when you do, you accept the responsibility to do something about it, because you cannot just remain silent once you know something that you feel is important or imperative to share with other people.
Mm-hmm. You know, her friend, let me add a little bit to it. He is virtually on the table with the rest of us, with everything, except for the one big question, the Jewish question. He refuses to accept that. He's not Jewish either, by the way. And
he's German.
From what I know of him, he's a very bold and brave character. But why he cannot make that simple connection is beyond me.
You have to understand, he's from New York. And obviously, if you've ever been to New York City, it's... and then add to the fact that he's a photographer. If you work in the fashion industry, you're going to be working with them. He has good friends. I know he dated one at one point, so.
And we both, all three of us, know that eventually he will be there with us, because there's no way to escape it. And the only conclusion is, yes, and he will be there. It's just frustrating, though, at this point, though, especially with you, Hilda.
Yeah, what's sad is that he has, you know, like I told you, he had a grandfather who fought in the Wehrmacht, and he's ashamed of that. And to me, that's just really kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's, you know, the next two or three generations are basically ashamed of what their ancestors did, their granddads and dads. That's part of losing a modern war. That's what happens. You not only get killed and raped and beat up and all your cities destroyed and all your money taken, but you have all the crimes the Allies committed against you projected upon you. And not just that, but you have generation after generation that loathe your presence. They believe everything the enemy tells them, and that's not the first person I've heard about that. In fact, I've got to believe the majority of German youth right now believe their granddads were terrible.
Oh yes, the vast majority. If you've ever been to Germany, you'll see some really, really self-hating people. It's sad. I mean, they cheer their own demise. Mm-hmm. Like I was telling you before, I have a Lebanese friend, and he actually went to Germany, spent some time there. He was shocked at what he saw. He said that as a woman, I would actually be safer on the streets of Beirut than I would on the streets of most of these German cities. Let that sink in for a moment.
Yeah, all the pictures, all the movies of torn up streets in Beirut and bombs going off, and you're safer there.
Well, yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah, and because he said they will not, you know, these guys that, these, you know, quote-unquote refugees that are going around raping, they would not do that in their own countries. You know, he made that very clear. If they were in any sort of Arab country and they tried that, they would be killed. But they know they can get away with it in Germany.
What a shame. What a shame. And it's so orchestrated. This whole multiculturalism, all the illegal immigration into, well, every European country except those that have said, no way, are you coming into this country. But they are, well, you have to look at the leaders of those countries who are saying, yeah, come on in. We'll take anybody that wants to come in. So you really have to question the leadership, well, which we've always done anyway, is to question the leadership.
There was this really quite shocked me. So he said when he was there, he actually had to stick up for this little girl, 13 or 14, because none of the German men were doing it. And because he's, you know, he's an Arab, he speaks Arabic, he just told them to back off, and they did. And he told the girl to go home to her parents, she shouldn't be going out at night anyway. It wasn't even that late out. He said it was like 8 or 8:30, somewhere around there. Yeah.
If you've read the book, Afghanistan After Democracy, the author wrote about what the U.S. military men are doing in Afghanistan. And they've opened houses of comfort. I guess you could call them comfort rooms, like they say the Japanese had, and they are basically imprisoning these Arab women, and I don't want to even talk about it.
It's pretty bad.
I don't know how they can come back and pretend to be heroes after. I think a lot of them don't come back feeling like they're heroes. I think that's why there are so many who are committing suicide and who are on psych drugs because they just can't stand to live with what they did.
No, I believe it because I've talked to several vets. I've tried to spend time with people who were in the military, and the stories they had to tell me were pretty awful. I know one in particular. He was in several places. He said that the one U.S. military intervention that he feels genuinely proud of was Bosnia. because they did actually help the people in Bosnia. He is proud of that. I'm sure you guys know about how the Serbs genocided the Bosnians over there. He was Srebrenica or something. But he's very ashamed of what happened in Iraq. And that was...
So.
Yeah, and he told me a story that really was disturbing. He said that there was this Arab man, and he'd taken one of the girls that was with the U.S. military, and she was killed on the internet in a pretty brutal way. I'm sure you can imagine. And he said they could have taken this guy, they could have interrogated him, they could, or they could have just shot him and would have been done. What they decided to do was they actually took him and they tortured him to death, literally tortured this guy to death. And he said at the time, he didn't really care. But now it's 12 years later, and he has severe PTSD over it, what he did to this man, and he's in therapy because of what he did to this man.
Oh, sure. But this is longstanding policy, even from World War II, when the United States government actually encouraged the men to engage in sexual behavior, particularly in France, and also in Germany, where if the Germans were to engage in such behavior, they would have been immediately punished, because Germans have more honor, and they honor women to a greater extent.
It seems as though the Germans, in fact, I think you could investigate it and write a book on it, the Germans... even in the latter days of utter catastrophic defeat, still adhered as closely to the Geneva Convention and the rules of land warfare as well as they could. They kept prisoners alive, they kept them fed as well as they could, whereas the United States and the Allies, in the last days of their rapturous victory, seemed to ignore all the rules of law, seemed to be more murderous, seemed to be more lustful for the women, seemed to destroy more. And that's part of our leadership. We have this culture here like this Jewish power grid for our culture. We are Israel. Each of us shares a Jewish moral and ethical outlook on the world, which is to say no moral, no ethical outlook on the world. So why wouldn't we commit one crime after another in the name of freedom and democracy and other such BS? Yeah, we were doing it in World War II, as anybody who's read Hellstorm and other books know, and we continue to this very friggin' day, the same thing. Yes, we get these great news breaks about, or these puffed up pieces about how well we're doing over there with the nation. We're treating the people right, and we're bringing democracy. That's BS. We all know that's BS.
Right.
Probably what they're doing basically is making enormous billions of dollars on the drug trade over there, sucking that nation dry of every resource it has, and that's what we've been doing.
Destroying a culture.
Yes, with
old
no
artifacts
whatsoever. Libya, Sudan,
you
Egypt.
Know, ISIS exists because we stuck our nose where it didn't belong. If we had stayed the hell out of Iraq, we would not be seeing ISIS today.
I think the CIA created ISIS just the same as they did Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, it's possible. It's very possible. Yeah, I could see that happening.
Well, let's go back. Let's go back. Why did we go to Iraq? Because Israel wanted Saddam out of there. It wasn't because of the attack at 9/11. It wasn't the buildings coming down. It was because Israel wanted it done, just like every other nation in the Middle East right now.
Exactly, because they were promised that land, so they say. Okay, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guests today, which I'm very happy to have on the program, are, and they're going to be here for 2 hours, are Thomas Goodrich, and he's the author of numerous books. His website is thomasgoodrich.com, and he is authoring another book. He's working on it night and day. And anyway, please visit his website, thomasgoodrich.com. The other website that is interesting and certainly deserves attention is hellstormdocumentary.com. And we also have Hilda, who is with us and contributing much to the conversation. So welcome back.
Good to be here.
Likewise.
Yes, good. Thank you.
Hilda, you were on that ISIS thing, and I interrupted you. I apologize. Want to continue with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine. I was just going to say, I'm really quite shocked because, I've tried to ask Arab people what they think about this, and they all said they've never seen anything like it before. What they're doing is just so beyond anything anybody's ever seen. So I don't know what to make of it. I really don't. But like Deanna said, I think, yeah, it's very possible, you know, like they did with Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, they financed them back in the 80s. I wouldn't be surprised if they're financing ISIS too.
Well, yeah, they were against the Taliban because the Taliban stopped, they didn't want to grow any more poppies. That was a cash crop in Afghanistan. And they said no. We're not going to do that. And so the U.S. government when the reason that they bombed Afghanistan is to have the spring crop of poppies. Had nothing whatsoever to do with whether or not they were trying to catch somebody. For goodness sake, you're going to bomb a whole country because somebody you think had something to do with 9/11 might be hiding there? So you're going to go in and bomb the whole country? I'm in a very aggressive mood today. I'm feeling very feisty today.
That's good.
Well, of course, when they raise the false flags, we all know what's going on. Generally, we do because it's the norm anymore. It's not the exception. We're like the thinking of the battleship Maine in Havana Harbor. That may have been the first false flag that I know of. But it's become the norm, the rule, not the exception. And so when something bad happens, let's say Syrian sarin gas. Obama, a few years back, wanted to send in the boots after Syrian President Assad so murderously gassed his own people. What a crock. Who would believe that? He's in a fight for his life against these head-chopping enemies, the ISIS types, and he goes and gasses his own people. Give me a break. But still, it tells you about the intelligence of the people who hear that news. They believed it. A lot of them did. Fortunately, most didn't, and we didn't go in at that time, or it might have been World War III, because Russia is still an ally of Syria and Iran.
And here's the thing I'd like to add to with Assad is Syria is his country. What he does in his own country is his business.
Correct.
Like, we don't have any, it would be like, let's say you have neighbors and they don't have such a great relationship. You're not going to bust down their door and be like, hey, you can't talk to your wife that way.
That's a very good analogy. We absolutely don't have any right to dictate to our neighbors in our own neighborhood. Yeah. How can we claim to have rights to go into another country and tell them what to do?
The United States is setting up its own perimeters now in Syria as if it's a some sort of a wild rogue nation that just was created out of thin air.
Sure.
Syria is a bona fide nation. It was elected with a majority of the voters there. It's as bona fide as we are. It's as bona fide as Canada or Colombia or any place else. And yet, who gives us the right? I guess power makes it right. I guess that's it in essence. But for them to act like the U.S., that is, the government, act like they are in there doing some sort of good deed, whatever, what they're doing is basically setting up a perimeter for Israel. This is all what it's all about. And while they're doing it, by the way, yes, I think all of your listeners know this. You've got some of the greatest listeners on earth, some of the most intelligent. But every time something happens there, every hour that passes and every day, there's always a very, very good chance of something bad happening with Russia and us. Now, we don't seem to give a damn. We seem like the mad pit bull in the neighborhood, basically breaking loose from our fence and attacking anything that comes our way, anything.
Exactly. All righty, we will be back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's A-P-P-S-A-P-A-R-T.com.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guests the first 2 hours today are Thomas Goodrich. His website is thomasgoodrich.com, and we also have Hilda. So welcome. I was thinking during the break, too, I have a friend, and she's been on the program. In fact, I need to have her back, Busaina, who was born in Iraq. Has lost most of her family because of the situation there is so bad. They lost all but 4% of their electricity. The dams were destroyed, so you had sewage going into all of the rivers. Most of her family died of diseases, cholera, and things like that, that are no longer a problem, but for what the U.S. military has done to her country. And I dearly love her and feel there's millions of Bhutanis that have lost family members.
Yeah, it's terrible. And I will add this too. The people, some of the people that annoy me the most are the evangelical voting base. They are some of the worst people I have ever come across in my life. They are baying for people's blood. They're screaming for war. You know, they claim to be such good Christians. And I've gotten into fights with them. I'm like, well, look at all the Christians in Iraq. And I'm like, they're suffering because you support these policies. And I'm like, okay, you know, yeah, they may not look like you, but at the end of the day, they're human beings, like have some empathy, but they can't even muster up a little bit of empathy, not even for the Christians of Iraq. So nice going, evangelitards.
Sure. And Americans applauded. We were talking about Japan and the bombing of Japan a couple of weeks ago. Nagasaki was a Catholic center, and they saved that especially. The U.S. government saved that especially for August, was it 6th or the 9th, that they bombed Nagasaki just to kill all of these Christians, these Catholics.
So it sounds like Dresden, just basically keeping it in best shape so they could see how totally they destroyed the town when they finally came in with the firebombs.
Sure.
That is demonic.
And there's a reason for the Dresden thing that I talked about in one of my books. They were out to get the people in Dresden for a particular reason. Because that was the location of a meeting that a group of people had from several nations to talk about what they were going to do about their Jewish problem. And so that was retribution. They were saving Dresden.
I think that could have been part of it. I think there were several reasons for it. I think part of the reason was, you know, because it had no... there was nothing. It was, they had a bunch of hospitals, and it was where they had all these wonderful architecture and art. It was known for that. I think that just the fact that it had so many people, though, I think the number one reason it was targeted was because it was such a huge population center, and Churchill wanted to kill as many people as he could.
And the population had doubled, too, by the attack.
Yeah, because of... Yeah, that's what I think was going on there. I gotta say, I hate Churchill, and I've been
garbage.
Yeah, I've been to the UK, and you go throughout the UK, and you see all these monuments to Churchill, and I just want to tear them all down. And I'm really they're proud of that piece of crap. And speaking of Dresden, now in Britain, they're claiming that, oh, we only killed 25,000 people.
Yeah, that's precisely, yeah. Diminish the death toll and diminish the crime. It doesn't work. We had people on the ground. I'm talking about German bureaucrats who like counting beans. And they came in basically, and very quickly the International Red Cross said 250,000 people died that night. That was the first from the International Red Cross. And then it went up as they kept finding more bodies, though. Thousands upon thousands of bodies. And by the way, while we're on major criminal massacres like Dresden and Hiroshima and Nagasaki, all three of those were, by the way, how about Tokyo? On the night, I think it was March the 4th, 1945, American Air Force under Curtis LeMay came in and blew the town apart. The entire capital city, large city, of course, and then came with firebombs. And in that night, anywhere from 100,000 to 200,000, mostly women and kids that were burned to death. That's more than was killed in both of the atomic bombs on Japan. Mass murder, that's the name of the game. Modern warfare with these criminals like Roosevelt and Churchill. You know, of the leaders of World War II, other than Hitler, probably the best, most honest of all leaders was Stalin. He didn't lie every breath about something. Nope, he told them basically what he wanted to do, and they did it. Whereas Roosevelt and the press releases, and him and that drunken, outrageous animal, Churchill, yep, that's all they did is lie after lie after lie. Churchill hated Hitler and Germany in the worst way. He made it sound as if he was a very civilized man. He was not. Well, I'm getting off there, but he wanted to actually use poison gas on Germany until some of his advisors said, wait a minute, they got plenty of it themselves. They could douse us with that. Poison gas. If they'd had 100 nuclear weapons, yes, they would have dropped them all on Germany. That's how.
Well, he wanted to use poison gas in the Ottoman Empire early on. Getting just a comment about Dresden, where they had the first anti-Jewish Congress, and it was a movement of self-protection, and it convened on, would you believe, September 11th, 1882.
That's interesting. I know there was a crusade. I think it was a crusade that was started on September 11th, and September 11th was also when some Polish king came down and defeated the Turks, so it's kind of an interesting date.
Yes. That was also the end of the Mountain Meadows Massacre.
Utah.
It was ended.
You would know about that, wouldn't you, Deanna?
Well, not personally, but
no,
yes. But in 1857, September 11th, 1857.
Yeah, so
wasn't that attack? It was. They were dressed up like Indians, but wasn't it Mormons taking out a?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's my friend, the photographer friend, was telling me about that, and the way he described it was, he said it was terrible, but there was one humorous aspect to the story, in that they tried to get the Native Americans to shoot them, and they're like, "Oh, it's okay, God will protect you, nothing will happen." And then some of the Native Americans got shot, and they're like, "You told us God would protect us." And it's like, are they really that dumb? Well, I guess these guys were.
Yeah, I don't know. I've read a couple, well, maybe three books on it, and it's very interesting.
Yeah.
At least.
I think, you guys should definitely look up Jan Sobieski. He was the Polish king who defeated the Turks. Yeah, it was really cool. That was actually a pretty awesome event. So there were a few good events on September 11th. It wasn't all bad.
You know, Deanna, we need Hilda more often because she makes history sound so fun.
Fun, you know, yes. And it's so dreadful, so much of it.
I know it. I'm laughing. You know, I'm not really laughing, but
sure.
It's the way, and I love it. But
I'm always looking for the silver lining, because it's like when you're looking at something really dark, you're like, you know what I mean? You have to find something that's like, that's cool.
But there's so many things happening in the world right now. It's almost has a mind of its own. They come with such enormous numbers. The false flags, these massacres, the slaughters. Just the other night, I don't watch any TV. I don't watch any of it all. I do get some news buzzes from the internet. I could not believe it was the Syrian government forces blasting away at the remnants of the ISIS head choppers. But whatever city it was, I could not believe what I was seeing. It looked almost as bad as Germany after the war, the bombed out cities of Germany. These tall buildings, actually 5, 6, 7, 8 stories high, just blown to atoms, blown to dust, and they're fighting among this rubble, very much as the Soviet soldiers and the German army was fighting in for Berlin. I mean, is this what we do? Do we continue to stoke these wars that basically are destroying the world, quite honestly, and now North Korea? And I know I'm hitting a lot of bases there, but there are a lot of them out there.
North Korea is very interesting because at the end of World War II, the United States pretty much took over North Korea, and I see them not as an enemy, but as an agent of the U.S. government. And they can do all. I mean, certainly they are not going to bomb the U.S. because they know that the U.S. would cream them and nothing flat. I think what they're doing is manipulating things so that they get ships over in that area for some other purpose. And I was also thinking, and you're talking about war and things that people accept. I was thinking about abortion, which mm-hmm. was approved by the Supreme Court in 1973. And that one decision has led to the slaughter of at least 55 million people.
I'm sorry.
And what has become legal Even though it's immoral, what is legal is okay.
Yep, good.
I'm sorry, let me stop you right there. I feel really strongly about abortion, and I feel that it does need to remain legal because we were just talking about rape, and a common occurrence from rape is pregnancy.
Sure.
And I am disgusted. It fills me with so much hatred to think of rape spawn being born. In those cases, abortion is absolutely necessary.
Sure.
In cases of incest, it's necessary. In cases where there's something wrong with the fetus, it's necessary. I'm not saying, you know, women should use it as a form of birth control. No, but there are some cases where it's...
Absolutely. But the federal government, that was always the jurisdiction or the premise of a doctor and the patient. That was between the doctor and the patient. It was up to the doctor to decide the situation. It should never have been an issue for the federal government to stick their big nose in and make it legal for everybody.
Yeah. Just like education.
Sure.
So what's your take on them legalizing the, the gay marriage? I remember when that was legalized at me and my cousin. No, it was my mom's cousin, her daughter, and then her daughter. We all were hanging out, and we drove around a couple places in Arizona. We went to Sedona, the Grand Canyon, and then we drove all the way to Las Vegas. So, pretty long ride. But I remember, you know, on our little road trip, you know, it was all over the radio. They're like, gay marriage is legal now. And people were like crying. They were so happy on the radio station. And I was like, what? This is weird.
Well, I think that the government should just keep its nose out of private business.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I'll be honest, I've not given a lot of thought to gay marriage. Off the top, I think, what the hell, just to get them out of our face. Just let them go get married, do anything they want.
Exactly.
Really don't care. When they're trying to recruit kids in schools, things like that, then I care.
Sure.
But I've been around quite a while, and I know there are really some decent homosexuals out there, some decent
absolutely.
Guys.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I've had friends. And,
me too.
People who weren't
me
friends.
Me too.
But the idea of these perverts, you know, if you ever saw To Catch a Predator, a lot of these guys were going after 13-year-old boys. That's,
and girls.
Yes,
and girls.
Yes. Yeah, but if I knew more, maybe I could be adamant about or against it. I don't know.
You know, it's funny when it first came on, I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. And I thought about it, and I was like, you know, it's fine. You know, if they want to get married, let them get married. Like, who cares? You know, just let them do their own thing.
I got to ask. Excuse me. Sorry. Go ahead, Hilda. Finish up.
I was just going to say, like, I feel like people make too big of a deal out of it in a lot of cases because it's, you know, as long as they're not harming you, like, who cares, really? I don't care what people do in the privacy of their own homes.
That's the thing, the privacy of their own homes. But when they're doing gay pride parade, there was one here in Chicago, and I just think... A parade? Why have a parade? Do you see straight people having... Do we see families having a family parade? Just immoralizing or applauding the family, the intact family, the traditional family, with a mother, a father who is a male and a mother who is female, and children who love their parents and honor their parents. Do we ever see that being promoted by the media? No, the media is too busy promoting a culture. And keep in mind that Hollywood, early on, from mid-1920s on, was promoting or designing our culture. We don't know that we don't look at ourselves as being devised, but Look at the people who have programmed us, who have designed our culture so that we accept everything and decry nothing.
Yeah.
So everything's okay. Whatever you wanted, everything's okay. If you want to watch sex on TV, because it used to be that in the sitcoms, you had Lucy and Desi sleeping in separate beds. And now you have sex scenes. And it's incremental. It's been incrementally, and people accept it as it's okay.
Yeah.
And you have to look at who is designing our culture
right.
and saying, hey, stop right now.
Well, anything the Jewish power grid promotes, I'm against automatically.
Sure.
I know it's against me automatically. And yeah, I know they promote virtually everything that, anyway, that's another story.
Yes. Okay. We're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
NutriMedical's New True Silver is a new angstrom silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at NutriMedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or ionic silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
And our guests the first 2 hours are Thomas Goodrich. His website is thomasgoodrich.com. And I also invite you to look at hellstormdocumentary.com. And we also have Hilda. Thomas, you have to tell us about your new book that you're working on.
Okay, well, thank you. I'll try to make it brief. Basically, it's a follow-up to the book Hellstorm, The Death of Nazi Germany. And I think it has the potential to be as good, maybe even better, than Hellstorm. And many people say Hellstorm is a pretty good book. Of course, the potential rests with me. Can I rise to the occasion? I'm not sure.
Yes, but you can.
Well, thank you. I'm going to try like heck.
We have faith in you.
Well, thank you. But the title, the working title of the book is, The working title is Summer 1945, Germany, Japan, and the Harvest of Hate. There's never been a summer like that in world history, that summer. The summer was a summer of so-called peace for Germany. Of course, it wasn't. It was more war by another name. And it was the last summer of the war in Japan. But there has never been a summer like that in world history. And that's what I'm going to bring out in this book. There was never more hatred on Earth than against those two nations in the summer of 1945.
Okay.
So that's what I'm working on. And it's going to be here, it's going to be in Germany. It'll go from Germany to Japan and back again, showing what's going on at the time. This vicious, depraved, demonic, almost demonic hatred of both nations, Germany and Japan, and how propaganda gets millions of people killed, and millions, mostly millions of women and children killed. This isn't just about the fighting men. In fact, I don't touch a lot on the fighting itself, but like I said, it has the potential to be an even better book than Hellstorm. But right now, it's up to me. Mostly, well, let me say this, though. It's not just up to me. It's up to, let's put it this way. I'm not an academic. I'm a freelance historian, so to speak. No university is paying my wages or going to give me a sabbatical to write this book. And right now, I'm finding it actually very tough to pay the bills as I'm going through this period. I guess I could go become a Walmart greeter. I could do that during the day and come back.
No, you have to be fat and stupid. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I don't think I could do that and still come home at night and write this book, because the book is a 24. It's almost 24/7. As you know, right now, dear lady, you're working on your own book about Mormonism, and so I've been asking. I haven't done this in my life ever, but I've. In the last week or so, I've been asking those people who fought a lot of the book Hellstorm, thought that it made a change or will make a change in the years to come, about how we view World War II, all the lies that have been told about it, all the crimes that have been projected upon the loser, that is the Germans of the war. And I'm asking for people to step up to the plate, and if they can, to help me along financially. Either that, or I've got to get a job. And if I get the job, the book doesn't get written for at least a long time, maybe never, because I'm no spring chicken. But if they can, I would appreciate it. And they go to my website if they want to know how they can help me, or they get a hold of you, I'm sure.
All righty, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
Folks, let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply, and of course the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game, at the top of your game, with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.